While every head is bowed, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Glory to you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness to us. And again, how rich you are in your mercy and grace. Thank you for every one of these young people. Thank you for the adults that are here. Lord, the ones that have traveled out. And God, thank you most importantly that you've given us the promise that when we gather in the name of your Son, you are here in the midst of us. And we thank the Lord for that. We thank God for his power. And Lord, I'm encouraged of heart tonight as we begin, young people. If there's anybody out here tonight that has not received Christ Jesus as Savior, go ahead, raise your hand. Just every head bowed. If anybody doesn't know the Lord as Savior, raise your hand. Everybody know him as your Savior? Everybody know him as your Lord? Praise God, even if you didn't, you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. So I thank God for that. Lord, you're so gracious. Thank you again, Lord, that the simplicity of salvation is the blood of Christ. Thank you, God, again for freely giving your Son to us. Lord, let this be an encouragement. Make us alive even the more tonight, Lord, for you. God, continue just to work in this camp. Lord, may this just magnify you. May this word, again, just build us up and give us that inheritance, all of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. I'm thankful for this camp. Can you hear me okay? Because I can't really hear much up here, and it's okay. We good? All right. I thank God for this camp. And I was thinking, you know, we've had this camp almost 50 years. And I'm grateful to God. Not in this place, but for about 50 years. And this camp's been used to change and to encourage many, many lives. And I can testify that it encouraged and changed my life. Matter of fact, right before I came up to camp, I got a little email from a man named Jerry Tabor. And I was 12 years old when I'd come up to camp one time, and I'd heard about that Holy Spirit many, many a year before coming. And I wanted to be filled, and I'd been at some camps before, and I'd tarried at the church and all, but I'll tell you, it just didn't seem to be happening. But this precious brother, he saw me up there just tarrying to pray, and I didn't know it was him. And he came back behind me, and he put his hand on me. And I can tell you, in that moment, praise be to God, I went off in another language, and the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost, and my life was completely changed. And I'm thankful to God for that. And I want to take just a moment to talk about a camper who came last year, and I believe, like many of us here tonight, you know Jesus as your Savior, and you love him. And that camper I'm speaking of, do you remember him? His name is Andrew. You remember Andrew who came last year? He's my nephew, and he came and he was 22 years old. And those that don't remember him or didn't meet him, he was battling cancer ever since he was 16. He was diagnosed with a cancer that was a terminal cancer. A cancer that was, when it was diagnosed in his body, he wasn't given more than 2 to 6 months to live. But he put his confidence in God. God had met his need when he got to that place. But with all the strength that he had, I believe by the grace of God, when he was coming to camp last year, he loved Jesus just like you, and he knew him as Lord. But something was stirring in him. Something was encouraging him that there was more love for him to receive. Now, I believe most of you have a Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, get next to somebody who's got a Bible. And let's open up to Romans 8. And this is a little testimony tonight about our precious brother Andrew. And somebody might ask, and those are that's my family, my relatives. We don't read well. The kids are in the back. So if somebody go out and tell them to take the kids in the back room, that'd be good. Okay? Polly? Thank you, honey. All right. But right there in Romans 8, and in verse 16 and 17, this is what Andrew started to see as something was starting to stir in his heart. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. Now, I want you to read this with me. It says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I asked everybody just a minute ago if there was anybody who wasn't saved. And everybody says that they know Christ Jesus as Savior. Amen. So are you a child of God? Come on now. I got to hear from my young children. Are you a child of God? Amen. Yes. Amen. That's a good thing. Well, praise God. Isn't that wonderful? And it says, and if you're a child of God, of children, then you're an heir of God. An heir of God. And then it goes on to say, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, did you see that first part? It said, as children of God, you're an heir of God. That's an heir of the Father. I have two sons here tonight. And those are my children. And those are my heirs. You get that? Pretty simple, isn't it? God's showing us that. If you have moms and dads, and you know, this young man said, man, my dad's got some money. I guess he's going to be an heir. But there's an heir that is actually ahead of just an heir of a child. And that's the next heir that this word of God is speaking of here. It says, and joint heirs, see, not just an heir, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Did you see how that changed? What was the difference? An heir of God, but you could be a joint heir. That means as husband and wife. That means ruling and reigning together. And notice it didn't say the Father there, did it? It said no, with Jesus Christ. Okay, now stay with me on that. Mention my sons. Those are my heirs. They would inherit from their dad. But I have a joint heir. And that's my wife, wherever she went. But she's around here somewhere. But that is my joint heir. You know what my joint heir does? She shares it with everything I have equally. What's mine is hers, and what hers is mine. Do you see that? See, that's not something that's really hard to understand, is it, young people? That's not something that's beyond something of the capacity that we can even understand in our mind. God is telling us something here. He's saying, look, I really love you. I've given you something here that you're my child, but I have something more for your life. There's more love for you to grow in. I want you to come to grow up, to fall in love with my son Jesus, to be his bride. Okay? And that's the offer that he has here. And see, Andrew, for about 6 months before camp last year, he was beginning to see this truth. He was beginning to call me on the phone and say, hey, uncle, I see this in here. He said, these things that you've told me and you've talked to me about, I'm beginning to understand some of this. And I know that there's something more to my walk with God than just being his child. And so he began to understand that he wanted to see it more. And he didn't want to see it afar off. He didn't want to just know it in his head. He wanted to come to embrace it as his own. All right? Now think of this. When you first gave your heart to Jesus, did I think or did you think, well, he's just everybody's Savior? I know he is. He could be everybody's Savior. He died for the sins of every man, didn't he? It's all there for anybody who ever lived. He died for their sins. But that's not going to be enough for me to be saved. He has to be what? My personal Savior. Amen? That he's your Savior. Even though he's my Savior and he's your Savior and he's your Savior and your Savior and your Savior, he's my personal Savior. Amen. See, that's the special thing about Jesus, is he's just beyond comprehension that he's mine, like nobody else has got him, but you got him that way too, don't you? Amen. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, that's the same way about this bridal message. We can understand about the bride. We can talk about that, you know, Jesus Christ is wooing and you know, the Holy Ghost is coming to witness to ones that to be in this bridal company. Well, we can know about the bride in our head, and we can have a conception of it, but it's got to be my personal bridegroom, not just something that's general. Does that kind of make sense how that is? Brother Jared talked about it, to make it my own. To make it my own. Praise be to God. And see, that's what began to encourage Andrew. He wanted to embrace that. Turn on over to Philippians chapter 3. I love this. I love this part of Scripture in here. Now, remember how I said embrace? This is the embrace. And this was the Apostle Paul who had been walking with Jesus for 30 years. And he is called the Apostle to us Gentiles, to us ones that are here at this time. And here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, what he says there is he says, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Has anybody heard the expression, the first trump? Huh? Come on now. Have you ever heard the first trump? If you haven't, then I'll tell you what, you need to start hearing the bridal message. Praise God. There's going to be different trumps or different calls, different companies that are drawn into heaven at different times. But there's a trump that's going to blast first. And you know that trumpet, really what it is? It's the voice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to say, rise up, come away, my love, my fair one. And that's what he's going to say. But it's like a trumpet blast. And that company that's looking and loving his appearing is going to be gone. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here in this 11th verse. He says, if by any means, if there's anything, any way that I can be in that first trump rapture, by the grace of God, Lord, do it. Make it happen in me. Help my heart to want and desire that rapture with you. Now listen to this, verse 12. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. See, tonight, honeys, he's apprehending you for this. When you gave your heart to Jesus, you were born of God at that moment. Do you know that? That's that word, born again. And when you were born of God, do you know all God's children are exactly the same when they're born? They're born little lords of all. You have everything of the life of Christ that lives in you. Do you know that? You have every single ability, everything for you, every privilege to grow up into him in all things, to be this joint heir. You have been apprehended of that. And God, again, in his Son, has embraced you with that message, with that promise by the grace of God to absolutely have that place with him. Verse 13, it goes on to say, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see that there again? See, it's not just a calling. It's not just, well, I press to get into heaven. He says, I'm pressing towards the mark, the highest prize. Matter of fact, this word calling, it means the highest embrace. And I love that. The highest embrace with Christ Jesus. Now, again, you think about what is the highest embrace that you can kind of think of or even imagine as a young person. Adults, I think you already know what the highest embrace, naturally speaking, that we've ever been able to experience in our natural lives. I love to embrace my friends. I really do. I like to give people hugs and say, you know what? I care for you and I love you. And I love to embrace my children. I hug them. They're my sons. And I can't express the love that God gives me for them. I love my parents. I love to hug them and my relatives and all of that. But there's one hug of one person that is absolutely above every other hug that I've ever had in my lifetime. And that's my wife. That is the highest embrace. And that's exactly what this embrace is speaking of. This is this bridal calling. The Lord has called us to the highest embrace of husband and wife with his son. Amen. Isn't that the most marvelous love story? Isn't that just so incredible? And that's, it really is. Eternity will never be exhausted with this word showing us over and over that this is here. And more importantly, when we're there by the grace of God and those that have attained to that, he's going to reveal it over and over and in the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness through her for eternities to come. It's going to be amazing. But see, again, I know most of us have heard this. I know most of us have, again, and get this. I say, yeah, I understand this. But we're talking again about this embrace. Remember we just talked about that embrace, the embrace of a husband and a wife? And let me tell you something. That embrace requires incredible, superior, overflowing love. And that's exactly what marriage is about. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ, because he's the one that covers everything with his blood. You know how you say, well, he's got it all covered? He does. He's got it all covered in the finished work. And you know how he brings that incredible, superior love for you to embrace, to not just say, yeah, I know about the bride, but yeah, that bride is mine? Turn on over to Romans 5:5. In Romans 5:5, it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Did you hear that? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. What that means is it's like a geyser, a fountain, a blast. It's beyond any love that there could ever be. It's the height of all love. It's that love that is required in order to really understand and know and believe that, Lord, that embrace, to embrace your son as my heavenly bridegroom, is mine. It's mine. And only the Holy Ghost can do that. Now, that is what Andrew, praise God, began to be encouraged of in his heart and wanted and desired. But he knew that he needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, Andrew would listen to the messages online. And you know what? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to every man that believes. Do you know that? Do you know without hearing the word of God, you'll never grow up in the things of God? You can sing till you're blue in the face. You can go to the happiest church. You can be the most huggiest group. You can do all of these things. But without the whole counsel of God, you'll never grow up fully to what the Lord wants you to be. And not only that he wants you to be, that he died for you to become. See, he didn't die for you just to be saved. He died for you to enter in to this joint heirship together with Jesus Christ. See, do you realize that, see, we get so caught up and it's so wonderful. Yes, he died, but you know what? He rose again. Did you know that? He actually came out of that tomb. He rose up from that grave. It was so amazing and marvelous. And he walked among men. And, you know, he went in there and showed Thomas. He said, you know, Thomas said, I don't believe him until I see those holes in his hands and put my hand in his side and all of those things. And there walked Jesus in. And Thomas was, huh? And Jesus said, well, come on over here, Thomas. Stick it in, baby. And Thomas said, oh, Lord. And you know what Jesus said? He said, greater is them that have not seen and believe. Did you hear that? Do you realize that you have greater faith? Because you know what? I haven't seen, in a sense, with my eyes. But I'm going to tell you something. These eyes never needed to see it because I see it right here in my heart. It's the most real thing to me that there could ever be. But see, Jesus rose and he gave that wonderful encouragement and everything like this. But see, he had told those disciples, let me tell you something. This thing isn't over. This is just beginning. There's going to be the greatest purpose in my death and resurrection that's going to be fully complete. Turn on over to John 16. And see, these disciples, they were very afraid. They were kind of, let's just say that Jesus kept telling them and telling them and telling them and telling them, and you know what? They didn't listen. He kept telling them and telling them, telling them, telling them, and they said, well, he just said it. He's a great guy, but that's really not going to happen. Did you know that they even doubted once he was crucified that he was even going to come out of the grave? They just thought, well, that was wonderful. Yes, he is the Messiah, but this raising up from the dead stuff, it's not going to happen. And then, poof, there he was. See, that was Thomas. He couldn't believe it, did he? You know what I'm saying? But see, when the Bible tells us something, let me tell you something. That's the only truth there is. When the Bible tells you something, it is going to happen. It's word. It's truth. It's reality. Do you know the Word of God tells us that everything we see, everything, this building, these beautiful trees, these mountains, all of these things that we see with our eyes, it's all going to pass away. Do you know that? It's all going to pass away. Do you know that the Bible tells you that there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth? And isn't that amazing how man, what is man obsessed with right now? Saving our old heaven and our old earth. I want you to be kind to it. I don't want you littering. I want you to be good to our wildlife and all that, but that's good. But I want you to understand something. This is all going away. And the only thing that's going to remain forever is the Word of God. That Word that's in your lap, but most importantly, the Word that's in your heart. The Word that by the grace of God you are. See, in Galatians 2:20, when you don't need to turn there, but you can. I like when you go in the Bible. It's all right, honey, you can. But in Galatians 2:20, when you gave your heart to Jesus, it said you died. Do you know that? Every one of us, we died. But yet we live. But yet it wasn't you that lives anymore. It's Christ that lives in you. And the life that you now live is one way. And that's by the faith of the Son of God. That's this Word. Now we know the enemy, this world comes at us and we just get living with our eyes and our thoughts again. And we think, no, I live just like everybody else does. I live like this world does and all of these types of things. No, you don't. That's a lie. And lies don't exist. Did you really know that? You know, I could tell you that I walked on the moon. I can believe it as much as I want, but I haven't. That's a lie. It never happened. I'm going to tell you something about your life. Your life lives one way, and that's by the faith of the Son of God. And that's it. It's just the precious Word that lives and abides in your life. Now read John 16 with me. This is what's so incredible. In John 16, verse 12, and let me just set this up for you. See, Jesus is telling them, you know what? I'm going to die on that cross. I'm going to rise again. And then I'm going to have to go up to heaven, and I am going to be seated at the right hand of God. But the reason that I'm going up to heaven is because I want to tell you all everything. I want you to know everything. I want you to be able to be a joint heir as a husband and wife with me. Do you get this? Do you see this? He said, I want to tell you the whole story. I need you to have the capacity to really believe me, to have that love shed abroad in your heart, that you'll take this and that you'll have this for your own and that you'll embrace it for just you. And the reason I'm going to heaven is because I need to send you the Holy Ghost. See, at this time, the Holy Ghost had only been with man. Every one of us that have ever been saved, the Holy Ghost had to come to minister to your heart to be saved. But as the Word of God tells us, and as Jesus told those disciples, he says the Holy Ghost has been with you and he shall be in you. All right? Now here we go. This is what happens when Jesus sends the Holy Ghost and he gets in you. Verse 12, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you. He's talking to his disciples. You know what? He's even talking to any of you tonight. that aren't filled with the Holy Ghost. Put yourself here. Your name Joey, you know, Tina. I don't know what it is, but whatever that name is, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, put your name, and this is Him speaking to you. This was Him speaking to me when I was 12 years old and I had not yet received the Holy Ghost. He said, how be it? He said, well, let's go back to verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot understand them now. You can't get this. How be it? That means, but when He, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Ghost, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Do you want to know all truth? I do. I love to know things. And there's one thing I'm going to tell you every one of us do want to know, even though you don't think maybe you do. Believe you me, you do want to know. You want to know all truth. Because you don't realize how rich you are. This young man said he had a rich dad. Let me tell you something, son. You do have a rich dad. You have the wealthiest dad there could ever be, son. It's Father God. And He wants you to come into all that inheritance. But see, if you never grow up, you're going to be just like a little kid. I want to drive the Ferrari. How about you? I want to run what my dad wants me to run. And my dad wants me to rule and reign jointly together with His Son Jesus. This isn't a fairy tale. This is the Word of God. It's so absolutely incredible. And in a moment, this offer is going to be over. Remember that trump we were just talking about? In a moment, that trump is going to sound and that time is going to be over. It's going to be done. It's going to be past. And matter of fact, that's going to be the majority of Christians as it shows them in heaven. They're called the innumerable multitude. And you know what happens when they get there? The first thing, a tear has to be wiped from their eyes. And I'm going to tell you, I absolutely understand why. Because they missed God's best in what He was offering them. My natural dad loved me so much. He made every provision for my life. He supported me. He encouraged my life. He gave me everything that I could ever want. He said, son, the only thing I want you to do is I want you to grow up. I want you to go to school. I want you to learn. I want you to become everything that I know is in you that you can become. And I'm so thankful to God by the grace of God. I take no credit for it. It was still God that did it. I'm so thankful that I made my daddy so proud. I'm so thankful by the grace of God. You know what? I didn't waste it. I went. And it wasn't easy. I had friends that were lazy. They didn't care. They wanted to go have fun. They wanted to go do these things. And you know what? I had to sacrifice some fun. I had to apply my life. I had to just go for it. And I'm telling you, I'm having the most fun now that anybody could ever have. And I'm telling you, even naturally speaking, I applied my life, even naturally speaking. And God had given me the ability. I got to do things that a lot of people never did. I got to inherit things that were there for me. I don't think by the grace of God, man is really born any different. I really don't. I never have. I believe it's two things. It's environment and how much you want to take. I've seen the poorest of the poor, even naturally speaking, they rise to the very top. I've seen ones that have been challenged, whether it was with speech, maybe they were stutterers, maybe they were abused as kids, and all of these different things. And you know what? They didn't make excuses, and they went on. And they took everything that was given to them. Now I'm going to tell you something. That's just natural man. We're talking about we're children of the King. We don't have any inferiors in here. We don't have any, well, you know, he only got half a deck. Or he was shortchanged. We're born of God. You have got it all. You have got every bit of the empowerment of the life of Christ in you. And by the grace of God, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Don't you want to please the Lord? You know what He wants you to do? He just wants you to take and praise Him for everything that He has already given you. He wants you to just grow up into what has already been given to you so that you would fully enjoy all of the beauty of His Son. Isn't that incredible? I mean, that just, it just, it is, it's mind-boggling. I got to stay with this, though. Now, again, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show these you things to come. See, the Holy Ghost is the one that's going to basically, He gives you like these new eyes. He lets you see into the depths of the truth. He doesn't let you just see Jesus afar off. He doesn't let you just, you know, see, well, you know, pastor's got a pretty good deal with Jesus. He's really happy all the time. I wonder what's going on there. He gets you to see, no, that's for me too. That's mine. I want that. Praise God. Because I'm a son of God too. Amen? And so here it goes on to sing. All the things that the Father hath, verse 14, He shall glorify me, and He shall receive of mine, and He shall show it unto you. That means He'll give you all of the wisdom of it. He'll show it to you. He'll put it in your hands. He'll take your arms, and He'll have you to embrace it. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of mine, and He shall show it unto you. All right? Now, that's a promise of God. That's not something that you have to work for. That's not something that you have to do so many good deeds for. It's not something that you have to be of a certain age to get. Everything of the Word of God is always one way, by faith. By faith. You cannot work for this. You can't buy this. There was a guy in the Bible that saw these ones being filled with the Holy Ghost. He saw that power come into them. He saw them speak in wonderful other tongues, the tongues of men and angels. As you hear, as people worship in our meeting, and as you'll hear tonight by the grace of God, people calling out to the Lord, and as the Holy Spirit comes in, gives them that precious language. And that man said, I want to buy that. And he was told, you can't buy this, buddy. Matter of fact, you get your dirty money out of here. And you can't work for that because you get your dirty works out of here. God has already provided that for you. Why? Because we just read, Jesus ascended up on high because He loves you so much to sit at the right hand of God, and He sent you the Holy Ghost freely to say, Lord, I believe, and praise be to God, I'll receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen, just like anything else in the Word of God. So let's get this thing all closed up. So I want you to see something here. Without the infilling here in John, there is no possibility to ever embrace as your own the bridal message. Now, as I said, 6 months before camp, Andrew saw this truth. And he began to call me on the phone. And he said, Uncle, I want to receive the Holy Ghost. And that fella, he'd be praying every single night. His dad would tell me, he would be praying on his bed. And Andrew would text me, no Holy Ghost yet. I was hurting so bad for him. Uncle, there's no Holy Ghost yet. And he'd pray, and I said, well, are you calling out to Him, or are you just praying in your pillow? He said, no, I'm calling out to Him. I said, well, you know what? You're never wasting your time when you talk to God. Do you know that? You never waste your time. And He's got a precious appointment for you to fill you. But I'm telling you, take it now. And it was so sweet as time went on. And I mean, he prayed for 6 months. And, you know, he's pretty intent about it. It wasn't a hit and miss thing. He was going after it every single night, his dad would tell me. And you know what? No Holy Ghost. But here came camp. And he said, Uncle, I have got to go to camp. And I said, yes, son, you do. And I said, and I figured out why the Holy Ghost hadn't come in and filled you yet. Because I'm just a little bit hoggish. I want to be with you when you receive the Holy Ghost. I want that blessing. And those that were here last year, wasn't it a blessing to have him here with us and praying and encouraged in the Word of God and calling out to Jesus? And, you know, he was over there and, my gosh, there were, what, 142 hands on him? Huh? Well, there was, I'll tell you, there was a lot going on. And you know what happened the second night? He came to me and he'd been really tarrying and he was really close. He's just fighting it a little bit. And he said, Uncle, will you go outside and pray with me? Let me tell you something, it was raining out there and it was cold. And we went out there about 6 deep in aspen trees. And he started praying out to the Lord. But before we went out there, I said, now look, you're not serious to receive the Holy Ghost out there because you could receive him right here too. We're going to really have a problem when we get out there. We weren't out there about 4 or 5 minutes and he was starting to speak in another tongue. And then that other tongue wasn't just out there for the aspen trees. It came back into this room too. And it was wonderful. And it was beautiful, and it was magnificent, brothers and sisters. And I was so thankful to God because, you know, when he was coming up to this camp, I want you to understand this, at this time, he only had 20% of his lungs. And that was at sea level. This is almost 9,000 feet. And his dad thought that he really could die up here. And he, in a lot of ways, probably medically speaking, he should have. But matter of fact, his dad almost died up here because his dad's a little overweight. That's another story. Just like his uncle. But he wanted to come to camp. He wanted to receive the Holy Ghost. And, you know, it's something about praying with people too. Do you know the first time that this infilling, when the Lord sent the Holy Ghost for this purpose to be led and guided into all truth, do you know when that first time was? It was the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? And do you know where that was? It was in an upper room, kind of like we're in right now. We're in the upper room, aren't we? And I'm sure it was probably even more hot than this because it was somewhere over there in Israel. And it was really hot and sweaty. And they had 120 people in that room. And you know what happened? A mighty wind came, fire came down, and bam, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And can you imagine? All of them spoke in other tongues. Because that's what happens when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. You speak in other tongues. Amen. That's right. Don't be ashamed of it. It's a wonderful thing. It doesn't have to be in a crowd, don't get me wrong. But the Lord likes that kind of thing. I was thinking about how Paul, when he was encouraging Timothy, Timothy was having a little hard time, wasn't he? Getting a little sheepish about the things of God. And Paul came to him and said, hey, you stir up that gift. And I know there's a lot of young people in here that are filled with the Holy Ghost that haven't spoken in tongues for 12 months. Come on, I was right there too, honeys. I was right there too. It's okay, I'm not judging you. I know who we are. We're kind of hit and miss with the Lord, aren't we? Amen? But see, Paul came to Timothy and he said, Timothy, you stir up that gift that was given to you by the laying on of my hands. See, Paul was there with him when he received the Holy Ghost. There's something about praying together. And that's why Andrew wanted to come up here. And praise be to God, the Lord filled him. Amen. And when the Lord filled him, I want you to know this. And we're almost done. Hang in here with this. This is good stuff. I hope it encourages your heart, and it should. I know it is. But from that moment on, he went home, and I got to see pictures of his Bible. His Bible, he used to keep it like brand spanking new. Nobody's going to mark my Bible. He almost didn't want to put his name in it. But from the moment of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, it looked like somebody took every marker from everywhere and started going all over the Word of God. And especially in Ephesians chapter 3 and in Revelation chapter 3 and 4 And then right here in Philippians chapter 3, and right there the notes that this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Every night, his dad said, every single night from the moment he got home from camp, he worshiped in the Holy Ghost. He would have his dad come in because he knew his dad needed to be encouraged. I've told that story about when Andrew was asking me about the Holy Spirit. He said, Uncle, you know that Holy Spirit, you talk about it and I want to be filled. I said, well, ask your dad. He's filled. And he's on the phone. I hear this big pause. Dad, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? And I could hear his dad in the background. Well, sure I am, son. He said, well, why haven't I ever heard you speak in tongues? It's not for a moment. It's not for a moment. Brother Paul said, I'm glad, I'm thankful that I speak more than ye all. His heart was overflowing with the word of God, with the love of God. And I know for those that are filled with the Holy Ghost in this room, and for the most part, I've been here, thank Jesus, to watch you receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You have never had a more beautiful time in your life. You have never been more happy. You have never been more thankful. You have never been more joyous. You've never had more, and I hate to say this because it's far more than an experience, but you've never been touched in a more supernatural experience way than the moments that you have been encouraged in that tongue language in your life. You've never had more peace. You've never had more joy. You've never had more sight of even seeing heaven. Well, there's been a few times I know I was there when I was filled and full and overflowing. And I'm not kidding you. But that's what the Lord does. But he went back every single night and he prayed in the Holy Ghost with his dad. Now, his dad would come in and he'd tell me. And he says, well, Dad, why do you just keep praying and not praying the Holy Ghost? I love that kid. He became an evangelist really quick, didn't he? We're going to get to the, as we finish, what it really was that he became. But it didn't bother him. He even told me, he said, I just kind of roll my eyes after a while. He says, well, his dad would say, well, I'm speaking some deep things to God. He said, do you know that the Holy Ghost allows you to speak mysteries unto God? Mysteries unto God. That I want to do that stuff. And by the grace of God, I'm going to enter into that again tonight when this is done. Amen. Because I know the Lord's already pulling on my heart that I want to partake in that part of my worship and love of him tonight. But see, he even went back and he ministered to his minister. Have you ever ministered to a minister? I have lots that minister to me because we're ministering saints to one another, aren't we? But he ministered to his minister back home and told him about his infilling of the Holy Ghost. And that minister was there with him and said, oh yeah, Andrew perceived real quick, this guy didn't know anything I was talking about. And he told his dad as he went back to the car, he said, Dad, I love this. He's a baby pastor. We're not coming back here no more. Where are you at? Do you have that kind of boldness? Oh, man, I don't want to hurt this guy's feeling. Let me ask you something. What are you being fed? Are you being fed truth and love? The whole counsel of God, the fullness of truth? Go get it. Don't settle for scraps. Didn't he say you're a little Lord of all? Isn't that how we began? Aren't you a joint heir to the kingdom? Well, let me tell you something. I want filet every night if I can get it. I want lobster, caviar, whatever there is. Let's just bring her out, baby. I want to eat. Amen? Come on now, don't be shy. Oh, well, you know, that's not for me. No, it is for me because he wants me to have it. He told me it's mine, 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 all is mine, and I want to go get it. Praise be to God. Well, I'm going to tell you something. About March of this last year, God began to deal with Andrew. And Andrew kept this to himself in a diary. And he absolutely knew in his heart, and he didn't express it to anybody, that he'd be going home soon. Matter of fact, Andrew went to be with Jesus on May the 7th of this last year. But he made a will, and he hid it until he was in the hospital in May. And then he told his brother to go get it. And that was right before that he was put on that respirator where he would never come off again until he was face to face with Jesus. But they got that will out. And what that will said was the exact same things that he'd been telling his family for about the last month. Because he'd been saying little things, but in that will, this is exactly what it said. He wanted his brother, he wanted his sister, he wanted his mom and dad. More than anything there was, the one thing they had to guarantee him, they had to come to camp this year. I'm not going to comment about it, but that's what he was, is the one thing he said. Whatever you do, don't miss it. Whatever you do, whatever you're doing, quit. Stop. There's nothing more important than coming to camp to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I think of those last things that he wrote, and everything about it was get the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he wanted them to have. And I want you to think about this. Just 10 months before he'd be with the Lord, that's when he was filled with the Holy Ghost. A short 10 months. And what, 7, 8, 9, 10 months later, he was preaching the same thing as Paul was in Philippians, where we just read in chapter 3. What he was telling his family, if by any means you get to Denver, if by any means you get to that camp, if by any means you get up there and you get filled with the Holy Ghost, if by any means, don't let this time pass you by. Because when the Lord deals with you, you move. You don't wait. You don't delay. You don't put him off. You don't say, there's going to be a more convenient time. Because that time just might pass you by. Before he set a star in heaven, he saw this week for you. And he did. I'm not making this some dramatic thing. He did. He just spoke all this beauty and wonder that man wants to go sending these ships out to tell you about. Shoot, he's going to, but I'm sure we might not even have time. I don't know. I can stand on one someday. I can be in all of the places someday because I'll be omnipresent because I'll be like him. Come on. Do you believe the Lord or not? Eye has not seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. When I see him, I will be like him. I'll be like him. Honeys, we got to start believing the Lord, don't we? I'm going to tell you something. I expect I'm going to be gone soon. I am. I know it. He's speaking to me. He's singing to me. I believe that trump's going to sound. I'm going to meet him by the grace of God. And I want to preach this. And I want to have that same encouragement as Brother Andrew did in such a short time. If by any means you come get it. But as I said, the Lord in ages past, he saw this week for you. Matter of fact, he saw this night for you. This night, not tomorrow night, but this night. And what I pray each and every one of you say, Lord, you know what? This is for me. Is it for you?
Yes.
Do you really believe this is for you?
Yes.
Can you say in your heart, truly, Jesus, I need this. I want this. I want you to put this desire in my heart. Well, then come on down. Come on. It's time to start worshiping the Lord. And let's just get going. Praise God. And just come and worship Him. Thank you, Jesus.